Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me today Michelle Sism. I met Michelle through the internet, actually, when Michelle was doing some one-day courses over the space of a day, followed up by an hour a week later, on social media. It was a time that I was very interested in Facebook, and Michelle established her credibility and her reputation by helping individuals with social media marketing. And since then, I've attended programs that Michelle has taught and been part of her coaching program, and I can attest to the fact that she is a decisive person, she's driven, and she's a committed entrepreneur who loves helping business owners build thriving, leveraged businesses. She believes that business failure could be eradicated if business owners would follow a few simple steps to the way that they do business. She is a leading authority on business growth. She speaks internationally. She's an author and a founder of a coaching program with lots of resources for people who are in business. Michelle also comes from a family history of business. I believe that her father put her to work in the store when she was 5 years old, running the cash register. I think I've seen a picture of your store, Michelle.
Yep.
And she also knows how it feels to fail miserably at business. One time the bank actually called demanding their $1.5 million back. She also knows how it feels to sign a contract to sell her company for $9 million. Lots of experience in small business and then also in helping people grow their businesses. So going from a trucking industry, which was your business, to social media marketing is a big leap. How did you make that transition?
Well, so we had just multiple family businesses. So just not to confuse anybody, I was bagging groceries at five. He didn't let me run the register yet. So we had a grocery store, a mobile home park, a record service, a trucking company. And so I grew up, just like you said, in an entrepreneurial world. I really didn't know that there was any other way of living. I thought everybody did what we did. And so then in 2007, we got the opportunity to sell the trucking company and the grocery store, and me and my entire family retired. And so what ended up happening, I really just thought I was retired, it was going to be excellent, I was going to travel, I was going to live the life of Riley. And I forgot my kids were still in high school, my husband still owned a business, so what ended up happening is I found myself on the couch, and that's not a great place for an entrepreneur. It was just crazy time for me, really feeling like I had lost my identity, and I started looking for what was next. What was funny was I saw these people. I investigated online a little bit. I was watching infomercials, the things you do back in 2009, right? Social media was new. It was kind of budding. It looked to me like those people were making a whole bunch of money, and I thought, well, gosh, if they can do that, I can do that, right? So long story short, I end up at an event, a three-day marketing event, and I watched this guy on stage who's teaching people how to build businesses, and I can complete every sentence. And I walked up to him and said, listen, if I hire you, can you teach me how to take my knowledge around business and create my own business teaching others? And he's, absolutely. And here we go. And so that's really what took off. What was interesting, though, Pat, is that I am an extreme introvert. You know that about me. But a lot of people don't. And so I made the decision that I was going to build this business without going out and meeting people. I was going to build it all online, and I was going to teach people how to build their businesses, but I wasn't going to have to talk to them, and I wasn't going to have to network or speak or anything. So I decided that I would become a master at social media. And so that's kind of how I got started. That's why you and I met, because I went out there and really started studying and getting, social media is just a strategy. I got really good at it. I will tell you, though, what I didn't realize at the time is that it's one piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole puzzle. And so I wasn't making any money. And I thought, okay, I have to learn to do other things. I have to learn to talk to people. I have to go out and speak and network, and I have to have sales conversations. And so I kind of shifted everything. That second year we did six figures. We hit $500,000 about 4 years in this business. And, it's been an interesting ride, and I love what I do, just like you. I know you love what you do, too. So very cool.
And what I've heard you say is the importance of a coach to help you get started and to guide you along the way. And the fact that you had faced business failure in the past, what are the few simple changes that business owners can make to the way that they do business to help avoid the business failure?
So I would say there are a couple of very specific ones that I would have you look at. And one being, I think the biggest problem I see for entrepreneurs at this point is that they're not having enough sales conversations. There is a lot of conversation that happens around us as people, around our businesses, maybe out on social media, but without the actual going out, meeting the ideal client, or getting on the phone with the ideal client, however you do your conversations, without actually making an offer, the sales aren't happening. And so cash flow is a really big problem for the majority of entrepreneurs right now. The second thing would be looking at, how easy you make things for other people. And so when we get real clear about why people make decisions, why they're going to work with us, we've got a clear message, right, and we can attract those right people. But then it's easy for them to come to us, then that makes a huge, huge difference in what we're doing. There's so many times that we, as entrepreneurs, you guys might be, like, if you're like me, you eat, sleep, breathe, think about this stuff nonstop. Well, that's awesome. However, thinking about it doesn't bring in the cash. And cash flow is by far the biggest issue, and that's where business failure comes in. So, I hope that helps, Pat.
You remind me of a phrase that my husband drilled into me when I first started my business, which was, businesses do not fail for lack of business. They fail for lack of cash.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yep. I wanted to shift the focus a little bit to the factors that lead people to purchase the services of Legal Nurse Consultants. For the majority of our audience, the individual who's making that decision is an attorney, but sometimes Legal Nurse Consultants are working with other entities, such as the court system, if they're working potentially on criminal cases, or an insurance company. But somebody has to make the decision that this Legal Nurse Consultant is the person who's best to work on a case.
Yeah.
That inquiry about a case might happen in person if the Legal Nurse Consultant is exhibiting at a conference and speaking directly to the person who has the authority to hire him or her. But more commonly, it starts with an email or a phone call about a specific case that the attorney is handling. And in that conversation, there's a dialogue about the case, what is it about? And then the critical question comes at the end that the Legal Nurse Consultant has in her mind or his mind. Is this guy going to hire me? Or is this woman going to hire me? Mm-hmm. What are the factors that lead to that buying decision?
Great question. So let's think about it based on their emailing or their phone calling first. So we need to remember that although they may feel, it may feel to us like they're from a big law firm or it's a company that we're dealing with, we're still, like you said, dealing with an individual. And so individuals make decisions from a couple of spots, right? First of all, one of the things I say all the time is that emotion sells. And so if we can get to really get an understanding of their pain point and why do they need you, right? To be able to talk and remind them that they've got that pain point. My guess is what I see the majority of people doing when they're attempting to sell is that they're selling based on the benefits, right? The attorney wants to know that this is going to be taken care of. They don't really care how you're going to take care of it. And a lot of times we go into the how we're going to do things. Okay, it's extremely important that we don't go there, that we stay in an emotional conversation around the fact that they need or have this desire to get this case handled. Remember that although if the attorney is part of a firm, it's still a human being making that decision. They may be spending the firm's money, right, but it's still the human being making the decision. So they've got to feel that connection with you. The other side of that is you get an individual or you get an attorney that is, he's his own thing. He's the one-man show in there. You really have an emotional conversation to have now because he's spending what feels like his own money, right? And so there's a little bit different of a conversation there. There's some strategies that we can use, you know, when we're having these conversations. And, Pat, I think you hit on something really important, which is that feeling that we as the salesperson, that we as the legal nurse consultant who are trying to get this contract, we're on this side of the phone feeling like, oh, my God, is this guy going to really pull the trigger? And so if we can just move through a conversation and do some things like, there's a transition strategy that I use that I teach my clients. And the transition is, we've been talking about the case. Now it is time for me to tell you what it's going to cost for me to do it for you, right? And that transition spot can be difficult for people sometimes. So during the conversation, a sales conversation, we're looking to discover what is it about that case that's the pain point? Why do they need you? What is it that's missing? They might what's going to cost them the case, right? That's why they're coming to you. So, one of my transition statements, and I'll just give you guys this, and you can kind of fill in the blanks to work with it with your client, and that is, so what we've discovered is that you could blank, whatever that blank might be, and Pat, you could help here. What is it that the attorney, why is he calling the legal nurse consultant? What's his pain?
Often, the attorney is facing a court-imposed deadline, which has been established by a judge, and says, for example, in expert witnesses, you have until September 31st to produce an expert report. And the attorney is busy, and other things have grabbed his attention, and all of a sudden it's September 2nd, and he says, ooh, I don't have an expert on that case. So there can be a very high level of pain and emotion associated with that phone call when the attorney is calling the legal nurse consultant and almost begging, can you please get me somebody? I have this deadline, and I don't have any ability to postpone that deadline. So there's an urgency there that the attorney is experiencing.
Very good. Very good. So natural transition then. So, what we found during this conversation, what we discovered is that if you could get this expert in and get that report written, right? If you don't get that report written, what's going to happen? If you could, this is taken care of for you. Let me just take care of this for you. Take it off their plate, right? They are stressed, but I'm going to tell you something. Even that stress is not closing every deal for you. I can't imagine, right? So we have to stay in that conversation of keeping them a little bit on the emotional stress side of it, and so that they can move to the actual yes and to the pain point. Mm-hmm. I think that there are so many things that we do in a sales conversation. But for you guys, just remember, it's about the report. Yes, it's about the expert coming in. But the bigger conversation is, you missed that deadline and the judge is, you're done, right? So don't feel bad about reminding him he's got a problem or reminding her she's got a problem. Mm-hmm. That's part of a sales conversation.
And there could be some severe consequences for the attorney as well. There could be a legal malpractice claim against the attorney for missing a deadline on an otherwise very good case. So the attorney doesn't often have any ability to maneuver. What other factors influence that attorney to select a specific person to work with?
I think that some of it is just that feeling of this person is knowledgeable, this person really has their stuff in place. I like to use examples or testimonials or some people call them case studies, which is a great way to call this. And it's in that conversation where you say, you know what, this is so interesting because I actually worked a case very similar to this. And this is what happened for my attorney client. I know you don't say it that way, but my client, the attorney, right? What happened for them was that we got the report out. They got it in early. It worked out so well. Their client won. They got this big settlement. Tell them. They want to hear that this has happened, that there is success out there, and that you've been through this process before. Just, again, it's trying to take them to that point of going, okay, I got to have them. They've already done this. They've been successful at it. It's working, right? I would definitely be using, I don't know if you guys are doing that, if you're using these case studies to show that like you got this. It's not a big deal. It works really well. What else could you do? Let's think about this for a second. I think that, and Pat, I'm curious, in these conversations, is there a lot of follow-up to be done, or do we see attorneys making immediate decisions?
Would make immediate decisions.
Yeah, I didn't figure.
Unless it is a rush situation, as I've described, the attorney sometimes is making phone calls to a number of legal nurse consultants. We often refer to them as tire kickers, trying to get rates, trying to get a sense of who they want to work on their case. If there is not an immediate decision, I did another podcast with a woman named Karen Kopp, who is an expert in closing sales. And one of the things that she focused on and stressed was, instead of this endless round of telephone tag or email tag, get a commitment from the attorney. Let's talk on Tuesday at 10:15, if that works in your schedule, and discuss your thoughts on the case and using us for this particular case.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. I never end a sales conversation if I haven't gotten a yes and I haven't gotten an absolute no. I mean, somebody just absolutely, nope, out of my price range, whatever. That's one thing. But I always have the follow-up call scheduled before I move on, before I hang up that phone. You're right. That's a great tip. It should just become part of what you want to do. And so when someone says to you, okay, so, you know, let me think about this, let me check it out, a couple of things here. First thing you can say is you can say, so tell me what it is that you need to think about. What is it that you're trying to figure out? Let me see if I can help you. Okay? And just engage them in what are those objections, so that you can attempt to overcome them. Because if they try to overcome them in their own head, they're not going to do it, right? So the first thing I do is try to get them to tell me what it is that they need to think about. And then the second thing I do is I say to them, okay, great, so Do you think you can get, you're going to get through that process today? Can we meet again tomorrow? I always try to set my follow-up within 24 hours. It's not always easy, and it, you know, it's not always doable, but I request it. And the reason I do that is because, again, all sales are emotional. And so when they're on the phone with you and they're engaged in this conversation of, I've got a deadline to be met, and if I don't meet that deadline, I'm going to be in trouble, or this case is really important, and guess what? They hang up with you, and then 42 other cases are going on that in that firm at the same time, and they're off into something else, right? Mm-hmm. And then in a 3 or 4 days, they're going to go, oh, my God, I never took care of that, and now I'm closer to my deadline. So I want to keep them in connection with that case. I want to keep them in that pain point of, I've got to get this done. And so I think that by doing a couple of those things, even for the tire kickers who are coming, and trust me, every industry has them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's those people that are looking just for price because this became a commodity. Even for them, an emotional connection is how you take yourself out of being the commodity. I don't know about you guys. I don't, I'm not cheap. I don't charge the lowest price. I'm not looking to work with those people who are making decisions based on price, because what I do is not truly a commodity. You can go anywhere and get it. I'm very unique in what I do, and I have a feeling each of you are as well. And so I don't want you being out there as the commodity, as just people just making decisions based on price. They should be making decisions based on an emotional connection. They should be making decisions based on the fact that you've done this before with others and they saw great results, and you're going to get in there and take care of this for them. Figure out what it is. What are those pain points? What do they need? And at that point, it's no longer they're looking for the cheapest one, right? You know that saying, you get what you pay for? Trust me, there's only so many times an attorney's going to do that before they wise up. So, so let's get you guys out of commodity, and let's get those follow-up calls scheduled and on the calendar and as soon as possible.
Those are really important points for our listeners, because there is a high risk of being treated like a commodity in a field where the competition is increasing and inexperienced legal nurse consultants are charging lower rates because they're hungry and they want the business, but they're also at the same time sending a message that they don't really have high value.
Correct. That's right. And so, we see that in every industry where people come in, they charge just a little bit of money. They're only going to survive for so long. My dad used to say to me that there would be these economic downturns, and we have them, right? I mean, it just happens. And he would say, okay, this is our opportunity to weed out the weak ones, right? Those people that come along, throw up a sign and say, hey, I'm in business. I'm a legal nurse consultant, but I'm going to charge you half of what everybody else does. They're barely surviving. And so when things change just slightly, they go away. And so I say, let's stand our ground. Let's have a price that's what we're worth. Maybe you have fewer clients this year than the other person looks like they have, but you're still going to make more money than they did by getting your price. You're going to set a precedent for what you're worth. And trust me, those attorneys, when they get, I almost said a bad word, when they get raked over the coals because they hired somebody who didn't know what they were doing, then after a while, they're going to talk to each other and go, oh, my God, don't use this person. And the other ones can go, well, I got the best person over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I know beyond that, sales is not just about the first sale. It is ongoing. How do you treat them? How do you keep them? They're going to have another case. They're going to need you again. And, I know that's not this conversation, Pat, but I also know that you, because you and I have talked about it, had great methods of keeping people in the fold. And that's a continuing, it's still sales, but it's how do you retain them as a client and build that clientele that becomes your base. And then those tire kickers are calling and your practice is full, and guess what? They can't have you, and then they want you more.
And then they have to pay the price that you're charging.
That's
instead
right.
of arguing with you and saying, as one attorney said, I got a quote of $60 an hour from a legal nurse consultant. Can you do better? And I wanted to say, do better for me or do better for you? No, that's not in my range. I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yes. And be clear that there are going to be those attorneys out there that are strictly going to hire by price. That is it. But do you really want them as clients? Right? Because they don't value you. They're just looking for that piece. So, you know, I say, hey, those aren't the people I want to work with anyway.
You're right, because they end up being a lot of trouble, and there are often continuing arguments about the size of the invoice or the number of hours that was spent, which just adds to a lot of unpleasantness in interacting with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are entrepreneurs, and that's one of the great things about what we do is that we get to choose who we work with. So make some choices for you. And I'll tell you, it's empowering the first time you turn somebody down. So practice it, and you'll begin to believe your value more. And I get it. We all need the money. And I know all those things are going on in your head right now. You're thinking, yeah, right, Michelle, I'm not giving up anything. But I'm telling you, that's where we get in the power. That when you can believe your value, you can sell your value. So...
And it's so
there
critical.
You go, Pat. I'll get off my. Yeah, very critical.
It's absolutely critical because although the concept of mindset is something that individuals have heard about, and I know legal nurse consultants have heard that term, what you do in a sales conversation is directly impacted by your mindset. If you are hungry and desperate and willing to take less than you're worth, then that will impact your decision-making when the attorney wants to negotiate, because attorneys are really good negotiators. They do that for a living.
That's their living. That's exactly right. Yep.
So they come to their vendors, in this case legal nurse consultants or expert witnesses or photographers, and want to get into that negotiation mode. I met a physical therapist in Philadelphia, or actually in Manhattan, many years ago. He was an expert witness, and he said, when the attorney wants to negotiate with me, I say, my fees are my fees are my fees.
Yeah, it's an interesting world we live in, isn't it?
Well, I can't believe our time has gone by so quickly, and we are at the end of our program. I know that you have resources that are available on your website. Could you describe to our listeners what types of things you have available?
Absolutely. So, you know, I speak on all kinds of topics, and when it comes to business, I focus on three areas. How do you make more money? How do you get seen by more people? And how do you close more sales? And so, you know, I have all kind of great information on my website for you guys. There's blog posts. I've been blogging for like 6 years. You can find anything you want to know about business in a blog post on my site. I have a 3-video series that I put together that's free, and you guys can find that on my site. There's one of those videos that's about how to convert more sales. So I know that would be interesting for you guys, and just tons and tons and tons of information there. So I invite you to come check it out.
And you can get directly to Michelle's website by using the URL of legalnursebusiness.com/MS, as in Mary Sam. This has been Michelle Sism. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being part of our program.
It's been fun.
And again, this is Legal Nurse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a review, and stay tuned for our next session.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.